Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
We love testimonies at Pneuma. They seed the atmosphere. They stir our faith. They build expectancy. We're going to hear a lot of testimonies this month. Because this month we are believing to see the miraculous every single week. That's the kingdom that we are a part of. That is what we are believing for. I want to read a testimony that I received personally, actually several years ago. It was from someone who had just been living with a long-term problem in their shoulder. And they thought that, you know, other people's needs were more important than theirs. So they thought, I'm not going to even ask for healing. I'm good with this. They've kind of settled in with it. But then when I went to share at this church, and let me read to you what this person said. They said, "Hi, Ali, you prayed for my shoulder during the first service on Sunday morning. With conference on this week, that probably feels like ages ago, but I was the tall guy who was the first cab off the rank at the end of the service. And I thought I should let you know that my shoulder is better. I'm still going to be very careful about lifting heavy weights above my shoulder height. But what I really wanted on Sunday was to be able to hold my hand up to God during church services and prayer times without feeling the tightness or soreness. I've been lowering my hand after short spells, not because I wanted to, but because I was in pain. Well, last night I came down for the evening session at state conference, and the soreness and tightness is completely gone, and my hand was raised a lot. Praise God. It's very humbling. There's so many people with so many more pressing needs, but I really felt that God wanted me to ask for this when you spoke." That's so good. And so I pray that if you've been living with something and you've kind of like settled in with it and you thought, oh, there's so many other needs in this place. Well, when I speak today, I want you to feel like, actually, it's enough. I'm going to go for my healing. I'm going to see God heal me of whatever it is that you've been living with for too long. I could continue to share. There's so many testimonies, particularly from our healing rooms this year, seeing amazing things happening. And it's really necessary that we keep these things in the forefront of our mind, because what it is doing is showing us that the kingdom is being demonstrated right here in our midst. It reminds us the power of God still operates today. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. We've just come out of our legacy month. Psalm 145 was our foundational scripture for that month. But, you know, it rolls into this month because it says your kingdom in verse 13, it says your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures throughout all generations. And so when Jesus teaches his disciples, I want you to pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. That prayer is still valid, right? Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Actually, when we read in the Gospels, the accounts of Jesus' ministry, do you know what his favorite subject actually was? It was the kingdom of God. That is what he taught on more than anything. In fact, the phrase kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven appears 80 times throughout the synoptic gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're called the synoptic gospels. It was the core of his message. Just a couple of examples in Matthew 4. It says Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming what? The good news of the kingdom and healing every disease. That's good news. Good news that the kingdom has come and healing every disease. Luke 4 says, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent." Luke 8:1, it says, "After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming," guess what? "The good news of the kingdom." Excellent. Well done. Thank you for that. That was really good. Even after his resurrection. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, I love this scripture. It says, "After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive." Do you know that your faith is not without reason? gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and guess what he spoke about? The kingdom of God. It was his favorite subject. And the way that he demonstrated that the kingdom was riding in a new way, in a powerful way, in a profound way because of his life was through the signs, wonders, and miracles that followed his preaching. One of those signs was physical healing for people. I love the thought that physical healing demonstrates to us the very personal nature of the kingdom. You know, sometimes that phrase, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, it can sound very ethereal. It can sound very kind of out there, almost intangible. But through demonstration of healing that individuals experienced, it's very clear that the kingdom of God is not just this objective reality, it's also a very personal experience. And when you experience it, it completely changes your life. That's the heart of the good news, the gospel message. There's actually an objective reality to it. The life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus actually happened. It's an objective truth, but we experience the consequence of that truth when the kingdom of God breaks into our life in a very personal way. We saw people testify to the way it has broken into their life today through baptisms. But we see salvation and healings and signs and wonders and evidence of his spirit. They are all personal encounters with an eternal, everlasting, your dominion endures through all generations kind of truth. Jesus came to bring the kingdom closer than we can imagine and offer us eternal life right now. Hallelujah. That's exciting. We still believe healing is for today. Aren't you happy about that? It is a sign that the kingdom has and is breaking through. And so all through November, this is where we're going. We're going after healing. We're going in pursuit of all that is already ours in the kingdom, and we want to see it be realized. In 2 weeks, we have Pastor Paul Dion, an incredible testimony of healing. Pastor Paul and his wife Marie, they led Life Church in New Zealand, and he was diagnosed with brain cancer. I'm not going to steal his thunder, but the story of his healing is absolutely remarkable. And here's the incredible thing. Everywhere he goes when he shares this testimony, it seeds the atmosphere for the miraculous, and people get healed. He shared it at our national conference this year, and afterwards people came forward for healing, and the testimonies are absolutely incredible, and it's going to happen again and again and again in our midst in November. So for this first week, as we look at healing, I took some time to remind myself of some of the testimonies that we've recorded at Pneuma, but also the stories of healing that we have in our Bible. And I meditated on them. I allowed them to evoke my faith that the same power demonstrated in the Bible, the same kingdom breaking forth, is operating today. Do you have a favorite healing story in the Bible? There's loads to choose from. Because I get the privilege of sharing today, I want to just take us on a little journey and recount some of the ones that I love. And as I do, my hope is that you will just have your hunger stirred for more. You know, these stories are our sword. They are the truth that we hold on to. We use them to shift the atmosphere and prepare our hearts for what God wants to do. If you've been believing for healing, this is your month. I believe it. November is your month. So we're going to start in John chapter 9. And what I call the mud miracle. I like this one. There's a man who was blind from birth, and he encounters Jesus, and we see the kingdom breaking in through the most remarkable healing story. Let's read it together. John chapter 9. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." Side note, isn't it interesting that the disciples were asking the wrong questions? Sometimes when people are going through something difficult, we're like, oh, okay, so what happened? How did you get here? What were the things? They're like, who sinned? I mean, it was actually a reasonable assumption that they made because of the culture of the day. But Jesus says, hang on, I'm going to bring you back to the purpose of what is actually going on here, that the kingdom is coming near and the glory of God is going to be demonstrated. He's shifting their mindset. He's saying, don't get stuck in asking the wrong questions. Begin to look for, okay, how is God at work here? What does God want to do here? How does the kingdom want to break in here? Verse 6, after saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he says, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. What an amazing miracle. There's actually so much in this miracle that we could draw out and focus on. The fact that the blind man, probably a beggar, knew what it was like to have people spit on him. He would have heard that sound as Jesus spat and thought, oh, okay, maybe I'm not going to be healed. But what Jesus did was used the very thing that pointed out and amplified his shame to see him healed. He's into restoring our lives, right? He's into restoring us in every way. So many things that we could draw out of this, but we're going to move on to another healing, this time to blind Bartimaeus. Another blind man, someone who requires the same sort of healing, but the method that Jesus uses is different. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. They're coming into Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples are with this large crowd, they're leaving the city, and a blind man, Bartimaeus, is sitting by the roadside begging. And he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. And he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many were rebuking him. They're like, shh, be quiet. But he shouts all the more. Oh, I love his determination. He wasn't going to let the culture of the day quiet him. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stops and says, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside. Oh, that is absolutely incredible. The cloak was how he actually made his living. And he was so sure that he was not going to need it after he encountered Jesus that he throws it off, jumps to his feet, comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? He says, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and follows Jesus along the road. No mud this time, just a spoken word from Jesus, but after Jesus had him declare his desire to see. Again, so much we could draw out from this story. This man declared, I want to be healed. But if we had time to really draw out the language here, you would know that the healing he really wanted was actually holistic. He wanted the fullness of life that Jesus was offering. And as a result, he was not just healed physically, but also spiritually, completely renewed. He had experienced life, the sozo of life. And he knew now God has appeared to me. And so I want that eternal life that is mine. And so he decides, I'm going to follow Jesus. Another one of my favorites is by the pool of Bethesda. There's a man there who'd been paralyzed for 38 years. And Jesus asks him a question, slightly different one to the one he asked Bartimaeus, and it might seem a bit unexpected. And he says, do you desire to get well? Actually, it's not so unexpected when you begin to understand what that word desire means. It's a much fuller word than, hey, what is it that you actually want? It's as though Jesus is asking, is there still a yes in you? After all of this time, after 38 years, is there still a yes to believe that you could be healed? Commentaries say Jesus was making his best offer to the man here. He was actually wanting to birth faith in his heart, which allowed him to see that the Lord's presence was being manifest right here. He wanted him to know God. Jesus was ready and willing to act if his answer after all this time was still yes. It was as though he was saying, hey, has disappointment and delay completely overwhelmed your yes? Has your unmet expectation caused you offense? Could there be a seed of a miracle still within you after all this time? And the man says, yes, I want to be well. And that yes is all that Jesus needs. And the man walked out of that place totally healed without even touching the water that he thought was going to be the method for his healing at the time. It's amazing to me that although this man knew that he may never reach the water, he still waited by the pool of Bethesda, which actually means the house of mercy. He'd been there for 38 years, but he was determined, I'm going to position myself in the house of mercy, believing that one day my time would come. And isn't it just like Jesus to actually appear to him, to come to him in the house of mercy and ask a question which actually drew out that yes that was still living in his heart despite his circumstances? Didn't matter how small it was. He encounters his kingdom and healing results. For those of you who've been waiting for your miracle, maybe November is about Jesus walking in and just blowing on that seed of faith that is remaining there despite your disappointment and your delay. Because that's who our God is. Of course, there's also another one, the miracle of the hem of the garment, the woman with the issue of blood in Luke 8. She had been ostracized, cut off from her community for years because she was considered unclean. We read that she had spent a lot of her resource visiting doctors trying to receive healing, but she just wasn't healed. Then Jesus passes through the town and she thinks, if I can just make contact, even with the hem of his robe, I will be healed. Have you ever asked yourself, where did that come from? Where did that thought, if I could just touch the hem of his robe? The Bible doesn't actually tell us, but commentators think that it's because often at the hem of a rabbi's robe, there were actually pomegranates embroidered along the hem of the robe. And the pomegranate was the symbol of life and abundance. So maybe she thought, well, I need life to return to my body. And so in faith, I'm going to touch that thing that represents what I need. So she reaches out and she touches his hem and Jesus feels something shift. He can feel power going out of him and he says, who touched me? She steps forward, not knowing, okay, am I about to be rebuked because I'm in public and I'm in an unclean state? But she thinks, no, I'm determined to receive what Jesus can offer me. What's fascinating about this account is that her faith and her action of just reaching out to touch the hem of his garment seemed to ignite a whole healing movement. Because in Matthew 14, we see that crowds press in to try to touch the hem of his garment. She's the first to do that, but it seemed to open a whole other realm of how people were healed. Amazing. Let's move into the book of Acts, the shadow miracle with Peter, Acts 5. This is amazing. Somehow people had got it into their hearts and mind that even if Peter's shadow passes over us, we're going to be healed. So when he passes through a town, people would carry their sick out onto the street, and as his shadow passed over them, they were healed. That's quite extraordinary. Have you ever wondered who told them to do that? Well, there's obviously a precedent that had been set at some point. Whatever the case, the people had come up with this idea and God partnered with their hunger and pursuit of his kingdom. And it's like he says, okay, if that works for you, let's go with that. I just want to see the kingdom come. And their hunger and the way that they had positioned themselves in the house of mercy, reaching out, believing that if I just touch his hem of his garment or position so that if I shut it, whatever it is, it didn't matter. God just wanted to prove himself faithful to them. The cloth miracle, Acts 19, this is amazing. Paul would touch pieces of cloth and people would take it, lay it upon others, and they would be cured of illnesses and delivered of demonic influence. Again, obviously some sort of precedence, and they said, hey, let's do that. God says, cool, yep, I'll partner with your yes, I'll partner with your hunger, I'll partner with however you think it's going to happen and see healing come. They're just some of my favorites, but what stood out to you as we went through them? What did you find yourself focusing on? Was it the mud, the shadow, the cloth, the pool, the hem? It's kind of a quick trick question. Because while all of those things were incredible, they're not the miracle. They're just the methods that we use to see the kingdom coming. Some Jesus chose and others the people chose. But the point was that life returned to people as they were renewed in their physical but also in their spiritual selves. Ultimately, that is what Jesus desires for you and I. John 10:10 says the enemy comes to steal, kill and destroy. But he came to give you life, Zoe. And it's not just a little bit of life, it's life in abundance. That life that Jesus offers renews us in every way, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. So I want to put it to you that the focus of these stories is not the mud, it's not the shadow, it's not the hankies or the hem. It's the encounter that people had with the life that Jesus offers them and continues to offer us today. Healings are signs that point to the miracle maker, signs that the kingdom has come, signs that the one who so desires you and I to have relationship with him, which is eternal life, has drawn near. I want to suggest that those healings, as amazing as they were, as inspirational as they continue to be, especially for months like this, were actually about facilitating a greater revelation of the kingdom. The healings were incredible and we celebrate them, but they revealed something greater. John 17, one of my favorite passages of scripture, it's called the high priestly prayer. This is like what drove Jesus to the cross. This is his prayer. In verse 25, it says, Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you've sent me, and I've made you known to them. And will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Everything we see in the life of Jesus, the miracles, the teachings, the parables, all of it is about revealing the kingdom of God and revealing the Father to us and our value to him. He came to show us what God the Father is like. And the fact that God desires to have relationship with us. Did you pick some of this up? In the first miracle, the mud miracle, Jesus rebukes the disciples for asking, you know, the wrong question. Essentially, he's saying, you're not looking for how God is at work here. You're getting stuck in the wrong questions. How can I teach you heavenly truth if your eyes are stuck on earthly realities? It's even more explicit in the healing at the pool of Siloam when he says, go and wash in the pool, which means sent. We call it the mud miracle, but it's actually got nothing to do with the mud at all. He went and washed and he saw. His sight was restored when he washed in the revelation that Jesus had been sent. There was an eternal truth being revealed. He wanted to reveal the heart and nature of the Father. The Father is not the author of pain. And maybe that miracle was about go wash in the truth that he is the Creator God for whom nothing is impossible and through whom his kingdom power is available now. You know, our body is mortal. Even if we receive healing, which is amazing, at some point we're going to face the Father. And that is that point that we go, thank you, God, that your kingdom endures forever. Healings, as amazing as they are a reminder that our body may fail, but our spirit will always be alive in Christ. Healing's about the Creator, not the custom, the Maker, and not the method. It's about knowing the Father, which is eternal life, and finding ourselves in him. It's not about the mud, the hem, the shadow, or the cloth. It's about the Father and the life that he offers us through Jesus. That's the good news of the kingdom. And it also means that miracles point to the real objective truth that Jesus lived and died and rose again. So we don't have to get all tied in knots hoping that, oh, I hope I get it right when I pray for someone to be healed, because it's not about the method. It's not even about us. Hallelujah. It's about the reality of God and his desire to break into our lives over and over and over again. It's human nature to focus on technique, but it is as though Jesus deliberately chose a different method every time so that we wouldn't form our theology around a method. When we form truth from a method, it becomes about us. About how well we can perform the miracle and not about the maker of heaven and earth. And then it becomes about how well we can fulfill the so-called method. Did we get it right? Did we do the right thing? Did we say the right thing? That's not God. That's religion. And it's cruel because it leads to condemnation if there is no breakthrough or healing, because we think, well, what did we do wrong? And when we do that, we bring healing out of the realm of the miraculous and into the realm of our control. And then we walk away going, wow, that was awesome. Yeah, they were healed. How awesome am I? Or they weren't. How terrible am I? And so we reduce healing to a method. You know, it's not like, it's kind of like when we reduce healing to a method, it's like reducing it to being able to bake a cake. You know, when you taste like a really great cake, what do we ask? Oh, can I have the recipe? How can I reproduce this? Imagine that you've got like a family recipe, like grandma's chocolate cake or something, and it's foolproof. Oh, someone's got a great recipe for grandma's chocolate cake. I just heard that. You're dreaming about chocolate cake now. Anyway, and you think, okay, give me the recipe. I'm going to follow it to a T. But it looks or tastes nothing like grandma's chocolate cake. And so she says, well, it's not my method. It must be you. If you'd done it correctly, it would have worked. It's just good science. Did you have the eggs at room temperature, or did you get them straight from the fridge? Did you whip the butter long enough? Did peaks form in the egg whites before you integrated them? Did you use too much sugar? Sounds like I'm speaking from experience, does it? There must be a step that you missed, or else it would have worked. We laugh, but actually we do that with a lot of the kingdom. We look for the rule, the law, the method, perfecting it, practicing it so I can master it so the result will be good. We so want it to be explicable and understandable and methodical, but God isn't like that. Healing's not like that. If it was, it wouldn't be miraculous. We have to let go of the method as we pursue healing this month and just say, God, come, be God. Let your kingdom come, demonstrate it. You paid the price, you died, you rose, and you were given authority over sickness and disease, which you've now shared with us. How liberating. We might be using cold eggs. We might not whip the butter long enough, but God, would you just come anyway and breathe life and bring your life into this moment? Reveal yourself as creator God, the author and maker of life. Would you just take our yes, which is expressed as a laying on of hands, and our prayers that we use to connect our hearts to reach beyond ourselves and look for you in our midst. And would you just come and demonstrate your kingdom? If that's in our heart, then I believe he'll take it all. He'll take all of our methods, as flawed as they may be, and he will just bring life again and again and again. That's his deepest desire for us. We're just going to watch a short clip of the woman with the issue of blood. The Chosen use this as their inspiration. And I actually think that they bring out this point that yes, she was healed, which was amazing, but then the interaction she has with Jesus speaks into her very identity. It speaks into all of who she is, and she has this encounter with life. And as this is showing, if I could have the team join me back as well. That's what it's all about. The healing, as amazing as it was actually about her understanding her value to the Father and coming into a relationship with God. If I could have the team join me. What if we were to ask God to come and move as he wishes? Like I said, we'll do our best. But the healing is not in the word of knowledge. It's not in the laying out of hands. It's not in the mud that we will push into your eyes. That was a joke. We're not going to do that. It's in that moment of divine intersection when God comes and responds to our faith. He comes and responds to our yes, offered through imperfect means, but Jesus is still in the business of showing us what the Father is like. And as we close, I wonder what else we can see in these stories. He asks the blind man, "What do you want?" You know, it's because he knows what's in your heart. He's demonstrating, "I care what you have gone through," like he says to that woman. The pool of Bethesda, house of mercy, 38 years waiting for a miracle, and then Jesus appears, not in the water, but right beside him. Perhaps God is with you in the waiting. Perhaps there's something forming in that man as he waits, and then the Father actually reveals something in greater measure. Peter's shadow, Paul's clothes, radical faith of the people who knew that the Father could heal. And he wants to reveal himself. And so he adds his agreement to their acts of faith and just says, "Yeah, let's do that." The woman with the issue of blood, there's also the man with the withered hand. They both stretch them out in their pain, stretch forward, and their faith intersects with the divine power of God. You know what? We may have cold eggs and unwhipped butter moments in November. We might do this all wrong. Actually, it doesn't really matter because our heart is to invite God to come and be God again and again and again. It's about asking him to allow us to experience the purpose of Jesus' ministry, which was to offer us life in its fullness. It's not about the method, it's about the maker. Let your kingdom come, God. And so as we close, we're just going to take maybe 5 more minutes. But if you need healing today, actually, let's all stand to our feet this morning. If you need healing, and it doesn't matter how small or insignificant it might feel. I began by talking about a man who'd had a sore shoulder for years and thought, "Oh, that's not that important." Maybe it's something you've lived with. Maybe it's something you've lived with for 38 years and you're positioning yourself right now in the house of mercy. Maybe it's actually a radical miracle you need. It doesn't matter. But we are going to say, "God, come, come, be God. Let your kingdom come." And so if that's you, I want you to just raise your hand right where you are, right where you are. All over this place, there's people saying, "Yeah." And I feel like Jesus, for some of you right now, he's coming to you like that man at the pool of Bethesda. And he's saying, "Have you still got a yes?" Doesn't matter how little it is, even if it's the tiniest little yes, I'm going to use that. So if you see someone with their hand up around you, church, this is body ministry. I want you to go to them right now. And don't worry about the method. You're just going to pray and say, "Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done." And we're going to worship over you this morning. Come on, start to pray. Start to believe. Start to pray as you would want someone to pray for you if you're believing for healing. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.